as we practice, we perfect our craft, and we get more comfortable as performers. And that time is precious, and it needs to be well spent.
How much unteaching of bad habits do you have to do as you begin working with students?
A lot. Students generally, I found, have not learned to master one thing at a time and then move on. They tend to do things kind of at 75%. And the problem with that is that over time, they get more and more unstable when they're playing, and they don't feel comfortable playing because they haven't mastered anything. It's kind of like building a house and saying, well, let's put the roof on first. You know, we need to have a very solid foundation. And when I'm first starting with a student or when I give master classes, well, I say to students, what's 2 plus 2? And they say 4. And I say, what's 3 plus 5? And 5 plus 8? And 13 plus 24? And by the time I get to about the fourth round, everybody's kind of figuring it out in their head. I said, okay, now what's 2 plus 2? And then everybody says 4. And I tell them that that's how easy the exercises have to be. When we add 2 plus 2, we do not count on our fingers. We don't imagine it on a blackboard. We immediately know because we've done it so many times, and it's beyond any conscious thought. And that's my metaphor with my students. And it takes as long as it takes. I also use the analogy of putting a cake in the oven. When we pull out a cake and it's not quite done yet, and we stick a toothpick in, and we put it back to bake a little bit more, nobody has an emotional crisis because of that. And everybody usually laughs, yeah, it's not a big deal. And the same thing with practice. If it's not baked yet, it's just not ready.
Jazz pianist, composer, arranger Lynn Ariel is also assistant professor of jazz piano at the University of North Florida. You mentioned the proper approach in three things. You're asking students to tap the rhythm of the exercise, sing the exercise, and then practice as perfectly as possible, finding the tempo with no mistakes. It sounds pretty simple, but you're really stopping them to sort of get the tempo right and then sing it, which is interesting tonally, I guess.
Well, this is very effective because the brain controls everything. So if we can't really sing the exercise first, then, you know, perhaps we don't really know it. And it doesn't mean that someone has to have a great voice or anything. It's just a matter of them hitting the pitches, which occasionally can be a challenge, but that can be fixed pretty quickly. And then I know that they have it correctly. They have the exercise correct in their mind. If that's not correct there, imagine, you know, what happens if it's not correct mentally.